The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Foundation text is 1 John 3:1, and it reads this way: How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. And if there's anything to be asking ourselves every day, asking the Lord every day, I feel this in my spirit. You know, every single day I'm going to ask God more than once probably, Father God, how great is your love today? Amen. And just let that sink in. Let that just meditate on the love of God. How great is your love today for me, Lord? Amen. That we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Somebody say, that's who I am. I'm God's kid. Now, the key definitions we're honing in on as we're getting kind of laying the foundation. By the way, I believe that's another word that the Lord gave for this year, is that we're pouring the foundation for the church. And this church will be 4 years old this year. And so it's about time we pour the foundation for the church. Amen? And it's a spiritual foundation. Jesus is the foundation. But the foundation for this church is the love of God. And from there, this is going to be amazing to see what He builds from there. Praise the Lord. So how great is the love the Father has lavished on us? And the word great in the definitions there, and this is where we focused a lot last week. Unusually large in size or dimensions. This is a dictionary.com definition specifically. Large in number, unusual in degree, unusual in power, unusual in intensity. So we're talking about a very unusual love. Amen? Not a love that the world does not understand, does not comprehend. Unusual, wonderful. It's a wonderful love we're talking about. First rate love. Exceptionally outstanding. Important. God's love is the most important, fundamental thing in the Christian faith, isn't it? The reality that God loves me. That was His motivation for everything He did and has done and is doing. Is his great love for us. First in importance, highly significant. And I've shared before that when I felt like Shelley was talking about that period we were going through in our lives, and I took it to a point of, as she said, turning it inward, I was like, okay, how do I fix me? Because something's obviously wrong here, and I missed it somewhere, fell off the apple cart somewhere. I know it has something to do with my faith, so I went to work on my faith. While I was, you know, waiting on God and working, that kind of thing. And I began an intense study on the word faith. And I went through like 250-something different scriptures. I have them all in a notebook, which I still will refer to time, good studying. But after about a year of that, the Lord spoke to me and He said, now I want you to turn your attention to my love for you. And it was like, well, how Sesame Street is that? I've been around this a while longer than to not know you love me. That's not the problem here. I got to fix my faith. You know, it's never a good idea to talk back to God, right, and reason with Him. When He says something, it's best to just do it, isn't it? But the significance of the love of God, I did not have a clue personally I mean, we all know, we all grew up singing the song, "Yes, Jesus loves me," right? By the way, that's a whole new revelation when you start studying God's love. Yes, he does love you, and he does love me. But the significance of the love of God, and he wanted me to get into studying that. And I'll tell you what, that's been several years ago, and it's still first priority in my study time. Looking for his love in every verse, in every scripture, in every Bible study. Where's the love of God in this? Amen? And it's been life-changing for me. And just my entire thought life and the way I perceive God, and it's the love of God is the filter in all of that. Synonyms to the word great, because really what we're talking about this year is the greatness of the love of God. We're going to spend every Sunday, as far as I know, you know, this year, talking about the greatness of his love. The greatness of his love. Synonyms to the word great are immense, enormous, gigantic, vast, imposing. I remember one of the most imposing human beings I ever stood right next to, A.C. Green. You know A.C. Green, Los Angeles Lakers? Went to Oregon State, and he came to our church to do a kids' event with us. And he stood right next to me and gave me a hug. And I mean, the man cannot walk through a doorway. And he's a forward. He's not even a center in the NBA. I mean, he's retired since then. But I don't know how tall he was. He must have been 6'10", something like that. But the man is gigantic. And it's like me and my son Lane. Like, he could rest his arm on my head and just gave me a hug. I'm like, "Thanks for coming, AC," you know? The love of God is imposing like that. It's like there's no way to get away from his love. He's just going to wrap you up in it, and he's going to keep showing you his love, and forever and ever and ever, he's going to be showing us and showing us and showing us again and again and again and again how much he loves us. And that's a beautiful thing. And we talked about the relativity. That's another word. The synonym for great is relatively large in size, extent, number, or duration. And we talked about that term relativity, you know, in terms of if I look at a gigantic tree out there, and from here, that tree looks like, you know, you could be way far away and have a giant fir tree. It's 100 feet tall, and you can go like this and have it in your, you know, but really that thing is much taller than that, isn't it? And so we talked about how close we are to God. That's going to be how we perceive the love of God. If God seems like he's way far away from you, then the love of God's going to seem pretty small. And your problem might seem enormous. Amen? But it's all relativity we're talking about. Draw closer to God, and my problem will seem smaller, and the love of God will just absolutely be a tidal wave that overcomes all that stuff. Amen? And that's, we went over that in quite a lot of detail last week. Today, so, you know, just in saying that, it's just important to remember, it's really not a complicated thing. Come to Jesus. And we talked about the story of Peter, you know, after Jesus rose again from the dead, and he had forsaken Jesus and betrayed him, and he's out fishing, and they see Jesus on the beach. And from the boat, he probably looked about this big, right? And Peter, when he realized it was Jesus, one translation says he plunged into the water and just went swimming for Jesus. Amen? That's how we got to live, coming to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Everybody say, come to Jesus. Amen. Daily, hourly, bring it to him. Stay in his face, where he's like right here. Amen. And then, man, he becomes Lord of our problem too, and of the issue too. And we put that thing in his hands, and it's way, way better off in his hands. Amen. So today I want to look at the word lavished. When it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. And the word lavished means, and this is again from a dictionary definition, expended, to use up, occurring in profusion, which means abundance or extravagance. So we're talking about an abundant and extravagant love. To give in great amounts without limit. So there's no limits. Somebody say, no limits on the love of God. You ever heard somebody say, you're on my last nerve, right? That was the last straw. Well, no, God, that's not how God is, right? Great amounts without limit. Synonyms to lavish are unstinted, which means not really means not frugal. This is not a frugal kind of love, right? Interesting, the word wasteful. To some, it would seem wasteful to be so lavish. Amen. Open-handed. Don't you know God's love is offered to everybody? Not everybody receives it, but his love is open to everyone, everybody. It's a beautiful thing. Excessive, and it means poured out. That's really where we're going to camp out today, is those words expended or to use up, and the word in that phrase poured out. Somebody say poured out. Yeah. Amen. Let's start in, I got a few verses to look at here. In Genesis chapter 8, we're just going to look at a few examples there. I really hope this year to use one of my goals, and we're led by the Holy Ghost, you know, but one of my goals this year is to find a passage or an illustration in every single book of the Bible. Last week we used a passage from Ezekiel, I think it was. Today we're going to use a passage from Genesis and, of course, the New Testament books. But it'll be interesting. I'm going to try to keep track. And there's 62 books in the Bible. I hope by the end of the year we've had an illustration from every single book in the Bible. But Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. Who's heard the story of Noah's Ark, right? Noah's Ark, how many of you believe that really happened? I've heard smart people say, yeah, that's a myth, you know. And one thing I remember Pastor Huck sharing, a good mentor of mine for many years, and he said that when he was, one explanation he got from somebody, I don't remember, that he was associated with, about the when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and how... you know, this person or whoever he was speaking with at the time said, well, you know, the reason that the children of Israel were able to cross the Red Sea is because they found a place where the water was only 2 inches deep or something like that. And Pastor Huck said, well, that's even a bigger miracle than I thought then, because God drowned all Pharaoh's army in 2 inches of water. Amen? So when the Bible says something happened, we're not talking myth or fairy tale, right? Jesus used, you know, parables and that kind of thing. But when it says God parted the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea. When it says a great fish swallowed a man and he lived for 3 days in the fish and the fish spit him back up and he went and preached the gospel to, that happened, right? So when we're talking about Noah here, this is also possibly one of the explanations that, you know, the modern scientific world doesn't want to consider. Worldly, you know, that would make the world look like it's millions and millions of years old. Because if there was a global flood and stuff is buried under who knows how many miles of dirt and rock, and when we're talking about a global flood, we're not talking about, you know, it doesn't take those of us from the Northwest a lot of faith to know it could rain 40 days and 40 nights. Easy around here, right? We're talking about the crust of the earth breaking and the heavens breaking and the rain, all this stuff happening together. It was a global catastrophe. Amen. But this particular story here, I called it love's release. The Lord showed me this a few years ago, and I've never had the opportunity to really, that I can remember, to actually teach it. But I thought this was really cool, and it applies to what we're talking about. So Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. So this is after. They're in the ark. The rain has stopped. After 40 days, they're all in the ark, you know, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then verse 8, he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded. Now, if you know the Bible, what is symbolic with a dove? The Holy Spirit, right? So he was really showing me some things with this. But in verse 8, he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. And that water, in this instance, could represent the judgment of God, right? The wrath of God. Amen? Aren't you glad we're living in the days of grace of God? And he promised, no longer will I destroy the earth with a flood. So the people that want to focus and just hone in on the wrath of God, we don't have to do that. Now, there is a hell to avoid. But it's not the sin that sends the sinner to hell. It's the rejection of the antidote of sin, who is Jesus, right? So it's a beautiful thing the Lord is showing us here. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground, but the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the face of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. What he was showing me was this is symbolic of the Father's desire to fellowship and have relationship with humanity. And he sent out his Spirit, but there was no place for his love, for his Spirit to rest. So what did he have to do? Bring the Spirit back in. Amen. Now look at this, verse 9. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the face of the surface of the earth, so it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it into himself in the ark. Verse 10, he waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. The olive branch has always been a representation of the anointing, and we could say here, of Jesus, right? Jesus, the anointed one, right? So this is what he was showing me here. So he sends out the dove from the ark, and it returns in the evening, and in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. Jesus came and did what? Fixed the sin problem, didn't he? So the Spirit of God went out, anointed Jesus. Jesus takes care of the curse problem, takes care of the wrath problem, you know, just sin killing and destroying. And it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus did there. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. Jesus literally removed the curse off the planet, nailed it to the cross, didn't he? Amen? When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in his mouth was a fleshy plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. In verse 12, he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. Now see, that is the picture of where we're at now. The first time, couldn't do it. The curse is in the way, right? Second time, Jesus nailed the curse to the cross. Third time, now he's able to pour out the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can now remain on us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So, pouring out of the Spirit of God. God taking his love and sending it out. No place for it to go. Jesus came, fixed the problem, and then the third time, sent him out. Now he can stay with us. Literally, that's what it talks about here. When I see that term under lavished, when it means to use it up, or that last one, to pour out, literally heaven poured itself out right there. And this is where God has always wanted to be, with his people. Amen? This is the kind of God we serve, pouring out his love. It's a beautiful thing. Now go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Aren't you glad the Lord has saved and reserved the best for now, right? John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is the story of Jesus changing the water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. and Jesus and his disciples also had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "The wine's gone." They have no more wine, right? And then Jesus says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." That's one of my favorite statements in the Bible. People, you know, a lot of people are interested in Jesus' mother. Here's what Mary said. Do what Jesus tells you. Amen. She's still saying that today. Amen. Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice first, or the choice wine first." Now see, we're talking about a choice quality of love here. Amen. "And then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." Somebody say, he has saved the best until now. Amen. This is where we are. This is where we live. He has saved the best quality, everything that Jesus has done for us. The best kind of love is for now. It's for now. Not for when we get to heaven. Amen. It's for us right here, right now. It's the choicest kind of love. The world will say, "Where did this come from?" Amen. It's from God. It's from Jesus. And it's for you. You can receive it too. Amen. So this is the quality and the kind of love that God has for us, that he has poured out, poured it into our lives. And what does it do? It flows out from us, doesn't it? We're all really a picture of those water jars, aren't we? Where he takes us and he does some changes inside of us and fills us up to overflowing. And then when people get around you, they're like, "Man, I haven't tasted anything like this before," right? The love of God is a real, real thing. Amen. Let's look at Mark 14. Moving right through here. Mark 14, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 9, it looks like. Hallelujah. Amen. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste?" See, there's a word for lavished, isn't it? Waste, wasteful. "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, my goodness, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. See, religious people do not understand the love of God, do they? They don't get it. Amen. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." A beautiful thing. The love of God is a beautiful thing. "The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand, to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Just like we're telling it again right now. Amen? Just the idea of the value and the cost and the lavished nature of that, where she poured that oil over the head of Jesus. And there's a scripture in the Song of Solomon that talks about the value of the oil and the fragrance of the oil. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing that God has poured out on his people. There's no such word as waste when it comes to the love of God, is there? It's all just, he is love. And he's going to continue to pour it out on us, pour it out on his people, showing us his love for eternity. And then closing, I want to read to you Romans chapter 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts, how? By the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, we just simply receive the love of God. God, how great is your love for me today? I receive it. I receive your love. There is no waste where the love of God is concerned. I simply believe and I receive the love of God. Amen?
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free, full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.